Good evening, Greg Stevens, your home group right here on Victory Channel. Listen, Happy New Year. Those of you that, in case you're somewhere under a rock or something, you didn't know, it's 2020, and it is a start of a brand new year. Home Group is a wonderful little program we have where we study the Bible together in the spirit of faith. We don't claim to know all the answers, but we get a group of people together. We get around the Word together. We take your questions and comments. You send them here. I've got an iPad. And get those. We take your program suggestions. And so if you have a suggestion this year that something you'd like to see covered, we would like to do that. A scripture that I really like says this, and he said, "So is the kingdom of God," Jesus is speaking, "as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, but he doesn't know how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit from herself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." Jesus is speaking about a parable there, and he compares the word of God to a seed in Mark chapter 4, verse 14. Today, so many of us, we're not farmers, and that takes a little explanation so that we can understand that truth. He taught this, that first, God's word has to be planted like seeds in our hearts. Just as a seed doesn't release its life until it's planted, God's word will not until we plant it. And that's what Home Group is about, causing you to grow in every area of your life because we plant the word of God in you. And today we're talking about, because half of Americans will make some form of a New Year's resolution. Are you one of them? And then they won't ever keep them. The best way to keep your New Year's resolution is say, "This year I will not keep any resolutions." Well, you just did. You succeeded. So tonight we're talking about change. Change scares a lot of people. Have you decided what you would like to change from 2019 going into 2020? Well, now's the time. We're starting off the year. Let me introduce everybody that is with me. First of all, my wife, Michelle. Welcome.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Dale.
Hey.
Dale Mock is back with us.
Happy
Normally, you're sitting across from me, but you're over here with me.
I got promoted, maybe.
Something. Okay. Something. So Dale's with us. Welcome. Happy New Year, sir. And then Quest, you were on a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
With us, Quest Gatlin.
He's Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. And your beautiful wife, Lauren, are with us as well. And you are the youth pastor at Eagle Mountain International Church.
Yes, sir.
That's great.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So we're helping people. A lot of people see this as a change. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really just 24 hours different. It was 2019.
That's true.
A few hours ago, and now it's 2020.
Yeah.
You got a whole year in front of you.
Yeah.
Do you guys make changes, resolutions, things you want to do differently? Anybody glad 2019's over?
I had a great 2019. What about
you? I had a great 2019. I think anybody feels it towards the end of the year, if you're human, right? I think to some degree you're excited it's the end of the year, and then there's people, "Man, I didn't accomplish everything I set out to accomplish at the end of 2019. But I don't believe that it stops at the end of December.
No.
You know, I think you can get back in the saddle at any time. But I am glad it's a new year. It's a fresh start, new vision. Praise God. I'm excited about
Warren?
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
same thing.
Yeah, you don't have to wait till the new year. So,
yeah.
Every day. In other words, every day of your life.
Yeah.
You're always recalibrating.
So you're saying live for each day.
I do. I live for each day. I make an overall plan like you're talking about. I don't necessarily.
Is that what a resolution is? An overall plan?
I think a resolution is an overall plan, or say, I want, you know, I'm going to take this and I'm going to do that this year. This is my beginning day.
Right.
For some reason, they think that this is the, I don't want to use the word magic, but this is the day that everything
like everything else
over
is forgotten.
Again. Yeah, like,
And this is
that's all
start.
Bad. We're starting over a new leaf, turn over a new leaf, start a new page, make a new chapter.
Right.
You know, so it causes people to focus.
But people don't really change overnight.
Well, I do.
That's right.
I change
change overnight.
Well, you know, if I get a new revelation or I get a new belief,
well,
I change overnight.
But the new year doesn't mean like
the new year
from yesterday,
toss it.
From today, but yet to purpose each day in your heart to
spiritually. I think you're talking spiritually. The only way to actually change overnight is a spiritual change.
Right. Like that seed, planting that word in your heart.
Right.
Like you just.
So here's the deal. You plant this thing.
Right.
And it doesn't look any different. I mean, you don't know. You can't see it.
Right.
But it's doing something.
The next, yes.
And that's just the thing. The Word of God is doing something in you, even when you don't see it.
Right.
You go to sleep. I remember my grandfather, he used to plant this huge garden.
Right.
And I would, it had to be in straight rows. We had to do the string, you know, the whole, and so far apart. And I used to go out and try to dig one up after a day or so to see what was going on. And he'd always tell me, he'd say, stop it. You're going to shock the seed.
Right.
You got to let it do its thing. It's got to be in the ground. It's got to be covered up. It's got to be, and I'd think.
It's got to work through the process.
It's got a process it's got to do. And I think that goes to what you just said.
Well, there is a process, right? There's a watering of the seed.
Right.
And how does that occur? Well, you've got to get yourself in position to hear the word.
Right.
So you get it watered, and then there's the harvesting of that plant. So there's a process to it.
And then revelation on the seed.
Yes.
Or information, more revelation that you learn and gather as you're moving through the process. I call it the how, what, when, and whys of the information that you're getting.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So when I hear a word, right, then I start going how, what, when, and why. So I start asking questions about that word so that I can implement what I'm learning, from that word.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the process. That's the process of change.
I think most people aren't okay with process.
Really?
If we can be honest, here's the truth. God can do a quick work.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I'm not gonna let God's ability to do a quick work be my excuse for not doing any work.
There you go.
Right.
Right? So yeah. I think committing to a process and saying, you know what, I know that the Lord can do a quick work. Man, I can be healed in an instant. But that doesn't mean I don't take my multivitamins, and that doesn't mean that I don't do my part. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because you're not.
Yeah.
You have a clear expectation of what you think it's going to look like, and it may not look like that, so you get discouraged and stop.
I was just talking to my nephew, and we were talking about process like that. He said at the beginning of last year, he measured his arms. They were
22.
Well, they were 13. He said they were 13.
Not so, big enough.
So then after 6 months, he says, you know, I'm getting kind of discouraged. I'm getting, you know, wasting my money all this time.
Sure.
He says, but before I quit, I'm going to measure my arms. And he measured his arms and they were 18. So they went from 13 to 18.
Wow.
He said, and I didn't even notice the difference because I'm just doing it every day. So that's that word.
See, my waist size did that. It went from
30. I was going to say, 6 months. It's everyone's resolution. It's a process.
Yeah. So you were sowing seeds right before you went to bed, I guess. Like cookie seeds.
Sorry. Different kind of seed.
I'm sorry.
And people will, if there's anything significant that takes place in your body, in your life, want to know one thing. How did you do it?
And what did you do? What did you do? How'd you do that?
And how long did it take?
Yeah, exactly. And I think typically it's like, man, you notice somebody who's dropped a lot of weight, you know, weight loss and health.
There's a guy that we work with here at this ministry.
That's right.
In charge of all the events and all.
Yeah.
And you see him posting pictures with 10-pound sacks of sugar.
That's right.
He's holding like 80 or 8, 10-pound sacks of sugar.
He's lost a lot of weight.
This is what I've lost this year.
Yeah.
And we're all looking at him like...
He committed to a process.
Yeah.
And there was a reward that he wanted, right? It wasn't... Because we were talking earlier today about why do you make a resolution?
Yeah.
So the three things that hit my mind is, should I do this? must I do this? And do I want to do this?
Yeah.
So the third one is... The desire, the want to, how bad you want to.
Oh, John Osteen, don't get me preaching.
Oh, is that what he preaches on?
Right.
How bad is your want to? Okay.
I love it.
Yeah, it's true.
But yeah, it's true.
Half of America, half of all the population of America will make a resolution beginning today.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. Half of all Americans.
December.
I thought it would be more.
It's December.
I thought it would be more.
That's huge.
No, well, it's January.
Is it January?
January 1st.
At least they're making a decision, right?
Mm-hmm. So they'll make a decision. Half of all Americans will say, I'm going to change this year. Now, here's the deal.
Yeah.
By this time next year, 2021, 10%.
What
10% will have accomplished.
Or actually stuck to it.
Has stuck
so
to it.
So it went from what percent to 10?
50% of all Americans, 50, half of all Americans.
50 to 10, okay.
Down to 10% of all Americans will have accomplished or stuck to
the
deal. And they gave some reasons. And why we haven't finished what we've started. Reason number one is you're going it alone.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And if you're going it alone, you're going to fail, usually, most people. And this is why we have home group, so that you're not going it alone.
Right.
That we're talking about the Word together, where we come to you every Wednesday night, and we open the Word, we talk about a topic that you suggest to it. Reason number two, going alone. Reason number two, extremely lofty resolutions. Oh. In other words, I want to accomplish world peace in 2020. Well, you can't do that. Mm-hmm. You're just one guy. You know, you're not the president or anything like that. So extremely lofty resolutions. Number two, you give up too easy.
Yeah.
It's just too easy to not do it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know a lady that she used to, for months, she would get up at 5:30 in the morning every day and go work out because her girlfriend would come pick her up and say, I got to get up because she's out there in the driveway. You know what I mean? She made it where that's number one and number three, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. She didn't go it alone, and she made it hard for her to not go. Number four was time management.
Yeah. Mm.
They ran out of time or whatever. So they said, make a daily habit. Make it a habit of yourself. Yeah. Turn this thing into a habit. Everyone can spare 5 minutes, so break it down into a small thing.
Uh-huh. That's what I do.
And number five is the resolution is a financial burden.
Right.
You know, you've made it such, for example, to do this or whatever, I want to be an Olympic ski jumper next year. Well, I'm in Texas, and we're at Eagle Mountain, but there's no ski jump mountain here.
Right.
I need to move.
Or snow.
Right. Yeah. I need to move to two problems. So that means I have to physically move and train at a place. You see what I'm saying?
I have committed to a step-by-step.
Right. But I've committed to a financial thing that's just not feasible.
That you can't afford.
That I can't do.
When you look at it in such a large scale way.
Right. Okay. Number six, unrealistic resolution. Okay, so what is that one?
That's all of that.
That's all of that, right?
All of that.
It's far better to succeed at something smaller and more manageable than to fail at something large. So make it realistic. It's a small thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then keep doing that. Number seven was no plan at all.
Oh,
there it was.
Yeah,
no plan. We committed to something, but we never really committed to it because we didn't have a plan.
Right.
And how to do it.
Right.
Like the plan to get yourself out of debt.
Right.
Because a lot of you, I mean, that's going to be a thing right there. I'm going to pay my house off this year. I'm going to get myself out of debt. Right. So on this program, we've brought you resources from Forward to Financial, Gary Cassie, Fixing the Money Thing, to help you get a plan and how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Number eight, lack of honesty. You can't be honest with yourself. Uh-oh. I'm going to run a marathon at the end of 2020.
How do you know my resolution? How do you know?
Well,
I just finished.
You got to be honest with yourself about what.
Right. What you can.
There's
perform.
Some training what do you that's going to have to happen there.
Right.
I have a going back to the time management and to the other thing. I remember a guy years ago who his deal was he was about 40 years old. Well, no, he was younger than that, but he was going to med school. He was going to go to med school after he'd already started a career and everything else.
Wow. Yeah.
And somebody said, by the time you graduate, you'll be 40 years old, 42 years old, you know. And his answer, it's always stuck with me. I'm going to be 42 anyway.
You're going to turn 42 anyway.
Someday.
Wow. I want to meet my goal.
So why not be 42 and be a doctor?
I'd rather turn 42 a doctor than have wished.
You know, because all the other guys are coming out long before you. They got 10 years on you.
Yeah.
Or more.
Yeah.
Right? And he said, I'm going to be 42 someday.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that was the exact number.
You're always going to be 42, right?
Right. There's going to be a day.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I'll be old by the time that happens, okay? Wrong perspective was number nine. Quit dwelling.
What does that mean, wrong perspective?
They said this, quit dwelling on what you've not accomplished and focus on what you've already accomplished. In other words, that's that 13-inch or 18-inch thing.
Right.
Focus on your progress.
Right. Look what you have accomplished.
Yeah.
Move forward.
Yeah.
And then number 10 was not believing in yourself.
These are good.
Yeah.
These are really good.
Learning to believe in yourself.
Yeah.
That, I can do this.
Yeah, exactly.
I can make it. So those were...
That was the 10 reasons you're saying that...
Most people
fail
to do a change in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And I got that on the internet, reasons why they don't why they don't succeed, they don't make it in making a change in their life.
Right.
We've got several clips that I want to show you tonight. We've got some really good guests with us going to be speaking into your life in just a moment. Jesse Duplantis clip tonight. David Barton, Andrew Womack is on here with us. Terry Savelle Foy will be here in just a moment. So all those things. What did you think of that list? Could you preach that list?
Yeah, I could.
Yeah.
No, really. I mean, it's, you know, if you want to know how to not succeed, do that. You know, but look, the truth is
keep doing the same thing you're doing now.
You know, if you keep, you know, here's the truth, and I think we've all heard that saying, but if you aim for nothing, you'll hit it every time.
Right.
And so going back to committing to a strategy, a process,
right.
You know, the word tells us over and over again, instance after instance, that if you commit to the process, the diligent will reap the reward, you
right.
know, Book of Proverbs.
What do you say to a person that's been doing the word? I've been doing this, and it never changes. Nothing ever happens for me.
Wow. Well, when I meet those type of people, I sit down with them and I interview them. I say, well, let's go through it and see exactly mm-hmm. what you are doing. You know, this, it works for me, and this is how I do it. So it's like being married.
Right.
Right, I'm married, and I have a great marriage.
Yeah.
And they say, well, I'm married, but I have a rotten marriage. Well, what exactly are you doing?
What are we doing different?
What are we doing different? Why does my marriage continue to work, and why is it yours?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it would come down to counseling at that point, Greg. Is it working for you?
It's working. If we're talking about
Michelle,
marriage, it's great. Perfect. Perfect. Wouldn't change a thing.
I know.
Thank you, Dale.
I love that old, the word is working mightily in me, you know, and always putting that.
And it's always acknowledging that, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it really is. I don't mean to oversimplify this either or to be insensitive when I say the word works. And so for me personally, if Lauren and I are sitting around the kitchen table, as we often do, and talking about things and our kids and some of the things that are going on, if I don't feel like something is moving the way the word promised me it was, my first question isn't, why isn't the word working? It's, am I properly working the word?
Correct.
And so, I recognize we're all...
So are there some people that are just, they're natural entrepreneurs? They're just natural... And so it's easy for them, or I've never met one yet that doesn't work.
I'm a natural entrepreneur. I am. So my thoughts are automatically.
Are you a visionary?
My thoughts are automatically toward how can I make money at this? That's my first thought. You see a problem, let's see, how big is
that? And
I don't
think there's anything wrong with that.
No, of course not.
Because he has that
right?
That
just came right out of me.
No, but everybody gets up in the morning
because he's the same
to do
way.
What?
Yeah, yours the
go
same way, right? Mm-hmm. How big is this problem?
Right.
Well, if it's big enough, it can make enough money.
Right.
Right? So you want an elephant in here tomorrow?
Yeah.
How much money you got?
Yeah.
I can make it happen.
Yeah, right.
But you can learn that. Like, I'm not
that
type of person.
That's what I meant.
I'm not that type of person, but I take note from him. And it's always, okay, what can I change to think more like him?
Because
that's where it starts, is your thought process.
Right.
Sure.
So...
Wow. Okay, I want to play a clip for you. This is clip number 3, and this is Andrew Womack. And he says, you have to know what God's will is and then pursue that.
Right.
Listen, you have to know what his will is and pursue it. If you don't pursue it, you won't get it. And he says this, it's not easy. Satan's going to fight against you, but you have the word on it. Everything about you was created and designed by God to fulfill a purpose. Andrew Womack, we'll be right back.
It's not easy. Satan is going to fight against you, and you have to have a word from God, know what God's will is, and then you have to pursue it. If you don't pursue it, you won't get it. If you just say, oh God, what's your will, and try and head in a direction, and if it's going to be easy, then you assume that that's God's will. But if it's hard, you must have missed God. You will miss God. Absolutely. And look at what he said here in Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. I'm going to break right into the middle of what he was saying. But he says in verse 15, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, etc. But right here in this 15th verse, He says that God called him from his mother's womb and separated him unto the gospel. And this reveals a tremendous truth, and that is that you were called and created by God before you were ever born. So if he did this for Paul, if Paul was called and separated, and if Jeremiah was called and separated from his mother's womb, this isn't unique just to two people. God applied it to me. I've applied it in my life. And it's the same for every single one of you. Right here in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Man, that's awesome. Did you know God doesn't look around and say, "Oh, well, this person, man, you are really good with accounting. And this person, you've got a talent to sing. And this person, you are just an entrepreneur. You're a visionary." And he looks at you and chooses you based on your talents and abilities. Before you were ever born, before you had ever developed, before you had ever done anything, God had a purpose for you. He created you on purpose. Everything about you, whether you're a man or a woman, what color your skin is, where you were born, everything about you was created and designed by God to fulfill a purpose.
Wow. That's right. Wow. That's, there you go. Wow. Okay, so you were created and designed with a purpose. There is a purpose for you.
Amen.
Amen.
That only That's you can do. The CEO of Black & Decker, you know Black & Decker, yeah, the drill people,
right.
He said, "We don't sell drills. We sell holes."
Oh, that's good.
People need a hole.
Ooh, right. Solving a problem.
And I solved the problem by making a machine that made the hole.
Right. That was the problem.
So there's a situation, there's a problem, there's something that God created for you to do.
To solve,
to be here. You're not here by accident. And I think that's what's so wrong with this culture. Here I go, right? Because there's certain things you can't change.
Right.
I was born white. I was born a male. I couldn't change that. I did not pick my parents.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And so for me to try to alter my gender or my color or anything else is to say God got it wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he didn't get it wrong.
Or that he was unintentional.
Right. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. So let's get that, the start of 2020, let's get that settled, right?
Right.
And now we can get a plan and move forward for what you're called to do.
Mm-hmm.
So how do I know what I'm called to do, guys? How do I know what he's purposed for me to do? Help me find that out.
A lot of people don't know.
Okay, so how, I'm there. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Lord, what do we do?
I think the first thing to do is put your hand to something.
Yeah.
Start somewhere. Like, there is so many things that need to be done. There's so many areas in the body of Christ, in your community, in your homes. Put your hand to something and you will find things that work for you and things where you're gifted in and other people will be blessed by it. Mm-hmm. But if you're not doing anything, you won't find your purpose.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My dad, when so I was true. In high school, my dad said, "Get as many jobs as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Try out all these."
That's so good. Mm-hmm.
So I worked in a grocery store.
Yeah.
You were around the public. So you learned.
I did that.
You work with people.
Yeah.
So if you like that, then Dad said, "You know, you ought to get a job in a factory." So I got a job in a factory for like 6 months. Mm-hmm. I hated every second of
it. I did roofing for a summer.
How'd you like that?
Oh, I realized there's
that was one hot summer.
No, you know what it was?
Right.
Woo! The money paid well, but there was no old roofers.
Yeah, well.
I started looking around going,
They found something else.
It's not long-term employment. Yeah.
There's not a career opportunity here unless you own the roofing company.
Yeah, so try a lot of different things. That's what I tell my daughters. And then you can go have testing done to actually see how you think and see what type of thinker you are and what job market you'll fit into. I got into TV just by being around.
Honestly, do you think you're doing what you purposed to do way back when? Now, like, do you look at yourself and go, "I never thought I'd be here," or "I didn't know I'd be in this place"?
Let's see. I knew I wanted to be in television when I was 18, but I wanted to be a set designer.
Uh-huh.
So I went to school for set designing and graphic arts and then got into photography while I was in school.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then changed my major to TV And I also had 2 years of electrical background. So everything folded in for me.
Right. So
you're using
so
all these.
Okay, so here's, that's what I was going to ask. Yeah. Did you choose that or did he steer your choices?
Well,
did he tell you? This is what I want you to do.
Because you committed to something.
And then
he
started steering you.
Yeah.
Well, this is what I did. I'm walking down the street in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I had been in school for about 6 months and I wasn't enjoying it. And I said, God, listen, you got 2 weeks. You got 2 weeks. And I'm moving back to Virginia to be an electrician.
Lord, wait, let me see that. Let me figure out what number that is on there.
So, you know, I didn't know what direction to go. So I started talking to people.
Yeah.
So that's where you need somebody. You need advice.
You do.
So I started talking to people and they said, you should change your major to television. I said, I'll give them 2 weeks. So I changed my major to TV and they said, come in here at 5:45 in the morning and help start lighting a television show. I said, I'll be there. And man, within 2 weeks, I'm like, this has everything in it I love.
Amazing.
It has electrical, it has art, it has construction, it has mostly photography. And I'm like, this is what I want to do. And I've been in it ever since.
That's awesome.
So try a lot of different things, like you're saying, and talk to a lot of people.
Put your hand to something.
Put it
that was so good.
But the pressure for kids these days is to know what they're doing right out of high school. So when they're 18 and the pressure is, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Right.
And they don't know.
They don't know. It's okay to graduate and still not know.
Isn't it?
It's okay. You're not going to die. It's okay to not know. It's not okay to refuse to be led.
There you go.
So it's okay.
Wait. You went really fast.
Okay. Be okay with not knowing that you would eventually be doing this.
Right.
However, it's not okay to refuse to be led and to commit to a process of arriving to this place in life. I hope I didn't get too deep. But again, just put your hand to something. That was such a good point. Put your hand to something and watch the Lord take this steering wheel.
So how do I know then if God's calling me or this is just like my dream that I want
to do? What do you enjoy?
Can you be that?
Well, that's what I...
Because I didn't want to be a missionary. Let me tell you
right
now.
You're
not practical.
No.
You're not.
Dale,
you're not
know.
A missionary.
I'm not a missionary. I am not a missionary. But
what do I enjoy? Yeah, because this is the first scripture I think about is whatever you desire.
Mm-hmm. When you pray.
When you pray.
Where is that?
So it's the very beginning of, well, Christ said it.
It's Mark 11.
Mark, Luke, and John, right?
No, that's Mark 11, 23.
Right. So he starts with desire. He says, whatsoever you desire.
When you pray.
When you pray. So whatsoever you desire when you want a job or a career.
So you're telling me God's not going to call me to something I don't desire.
He might.
I think he makes you.
I think he can stretch you and you might learn something in that process that will direct you to where you do desire.
Okay. So let's take a stop right here. I want to play clip two for you.
Okay.
And this is Terry Foy. If you don't know who that is, that's Jerry Savelle's daughter. And she says, after you know the desires in your heart, write it down.
Yeah.
All right? So it causes you to become more in tune with what you want to achieve. Watch Terry. We'll continue on in just a moment.
So like for me, you know, I started writing that I wanted to go to the nation of France. I studied the French language. That wasn't coincidental. That was a desire that God put in my heart. Well, desires are from the Father. So don't brush them off as no big deal. Honor the desires that God's put in your heart. And then write it down. You know, there's something powerful that happens when you grab a pen and some paper and you start writing your dreams and goals. It causes you to become more in tuned with what it is you really want to achieve. And if you go to any success conference, they will tell you the power of the pen. They'll tell you that you've got to write your dreams. Again, this came from the Word of God. Habakkuk 2:2 says, write the vision and make it plain.
Write it down. So start writing down your desires.
Yeah.
Can I read that scripture?
Yeah, please.
Because I think 2:3 is just as powerful as 2:2.
In Habakkuk?
Yes. Yeah. So verse 3 says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. But it speaks of the end and does not lie. If it delays, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Like, we just give up too easy. Mm-hmm. We do not allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. We do not, because we want to do it when we want to do it. Mm-hmm. There is a season of growth. There's a season of stretching. There's a season of desire, figuring out what that desire is, lining it up with His plan, His desire, because our desires are kingdom minded,
right?
Not just personal, but they tie together.
Yeah.
And there's the how.
That's so good.
It's how to pull the desire off too. Like, I've been looking at a business for 10 years. I finally did it this year.
Wow.
Right? So that desire started 10 years ago. But I had a lot of people to talk to, a lot of preparations to make. And then when the Lord said, okay, now's the time. You have the people in place. You have the finances in place. So it's the desire started 10 years ago.
Though. Yeah.
Right. Like you're saying,
it's an appointed time.
It's an appointed time. Yes. Now's the time.
Yes. Yeah. That's so good.
So something we are always talking about with a lot of the younger people who get anxious way too quickly.
Right.
We're talking about a microwave generation. They're called screenagers now. So when we need something quick and we want it microwavable when it should be more of a crock pot process.
Crock pot.
Yeah, but it's committing to that process and seeing a lot of that fulfilled. I don't know, it just stirs me up. But something that I've been telling them that just came out of the Word over time was just that God created you on purpose for a purpose.
Right.
So live on purpose.
Right.
And it's basically God didn't make a mistake when He created you the way you were created to have the desires, and you're creative, you're a creative person. I think too many times we go, man, my personality, I could never. Well, hold on. You got a great personality.
Right.
Well, God created you with that personality. You've got, we can all grow in areas and things, but I think it would be silly to assume that God wasn't strategic in the way He designed Quest Gatlin or Dale Mock.
Right.
And I think too many times we see each other's faults, or I'll see my own faults. You know, we were joking offset about, when you hear your own voice after a recording or something like that. I can't stand here. Well, you know what? That's the voice God gave me. I'm rolling with it, and I'm going to seize the moment, and I'm going to go after it. I loved hearing your story about,
how do we steer our children then?
Process.
What I did with my kids, he's saying there, I always taught my kids, I said, God made woodpeckers and He made grizzly bears. Right?
Okay, wait a minute.
So he's
I hear a country song. I got a country song in my head.
Got a country song. God made woodpeckers and grizzly bears.
Yeah.
So we're talking
about Dale Mock, ladies and gentlemen.
We're talking about you're explaining things to your children.
I'm writing this one down.
You're explaining things to your children.
Yeah, no, they'll understand.
Everybody at home, I can hear them saying, shut up and let him tell us about woodpeckers and grizzly bears. Go ahead, Dale.
So
God
designed woodpeckers, right?
Yeah.
And He gave them a totally different desire than He did a grizzly bear. A woodpecker will beat his head against a tree all day long for a worm, and the grizzly bear's looking at him and saying, look at that crazy woodpecker. Doesn't he know that there's fish in this river here? So the grizzly, you know what I mean? So everybody's different. Everybody has a different desire. So find out what you are and what your desire is and move toward it. Because God was good enough to make a woodpecker, but He was even better to put the worm in the tree for the woodpecker. So in other words, the thing that He made for you to desire, He's also created it to be there for you.
Wow.
So that's the way I explained it to my kids when they were small.
Yeah,
so you're working with teenagers. They might not appreciate woodpeckers and grizzly bears.
I got an idea for a children's book right there with woodpeckers and grizzly bears.
That's a good children's book.
I just copyrighted it. It's done.
You heard it here first.
Okay.
Well, that's great. I think there's a lot of maturity, though, because you can tell a teenager something over and over and over again, and it just doesn't click. It has to click for them, and
I keep going back to what Michelle said earlier, because something on the inside of me is screaming, how do I know what God's called me to do? How do I know what I'm good at? How do I know? I've got desires, but it's start with something, start somewhere, and so anyway, it's interesting.
Even our own kids are so different. They're made differently. They're come from the same two people, but Very different.
They need to know that they're very different.
And so and what okay I think that. As parents, it's good to say, hey, this is the gifting I see in you. I see this in you.
Yeah.
And you start examining them, and helping. And so navigating that that purpose toward that gifting.
Yeah.
So my daughter's extremely good with children.
Oh, good.
And so one of the things that, you know, the desires of her heart are to work with children. Well, she realized that when other people start confirming that. Other people start seeing giftings. And that's important for us as adults to see young people and children and say, this, you are amazing at that, and start encouraging and navigating that.
That was part of the 10 problems is people were going it alone. So that's what you're saying. Yeah. Come along beside your children and be the agreement
with
them.
Don't talk down.
No.
Talk to their strength.
Yes.
Okay, so
speak to their potential. Speak to their destiny.
Because here's the deal. God does that.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's how you're like him.
Yeah.
He always speaks to you from your destined place.
Mm-hmm.
Not where you're
at.
That's
why you see so many name changes throughout Scripture.
Exactly.
That's good.
He called Abraham from his destined place, not from where he's at. He called Gideon. When he first spoke to Gideon, he said, "You mighty man of valor." What was Gideon doing when he said that? Hiding.
I know.
But he's not talking to him about what he's as right now. He's talking about what he's going to be.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so when God has spoken to you, and this is how you can figure out, because if it sounds impossible, let me help you with something. It is! Because he's speaking to you from your destined place.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And this is why you're going to have to walk that thing out.
That's when the Lord said to Abraham, right? He said, Abraham became righteous with God when he believed, correct?
Yes. When he believed.
Right. So this is, I said, Lord, explain that to me better. He said, I was trying to explain to Abraham who he was, how I saw him, and he wasn't reading off the same page as me. Hmm. He's saying, no, this is who I am. I don't have any children. I'm out here in the desert. You don't love me. And he's finally sitting, he finally took God's paper and he said, oh, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Or, you know, we're moved into the New Testament now. But I'm the father of many nations.
Yes.
I'm the father. And he said, finally, you're reading off of my page the way I see you.
Yeah.
This is the picture of you, Abraham. Put that other one away.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the end result.
Yeah. I think that's what Terry was saying, too. You have to put it in front of your face.
Oh, that's good.
See it daily.
Sometimes God has to do it for you, which, you know, you see that example of a name change is him speaking that. You got to remember how much higher God is flying over your situation and your life. And I have to remember,
let me try to say it this way. I want to go to a Jesse Duplantis clip here in a second because I promised you that we'd have a clip from him. He speaks to the Jesus said, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and life.
Yes.
So when he speaks to you as a born again believer, he speaks to your spirit.
Right.
So you're operating out of your mind.
Right.
My mind says this. My spirit says this. They're in contradiction to each other. The covenant is in my spirit. It's contradicting what's in my mind or what's in my flesh.
Right.
And this is how we have to get these two in agreement. Your mind and your spirit have to get in sync, and you do it by faith. They work together to formulate your future. Your future keeps you prepared and it keeps you believing. And you're going to need this word from Brother Jesse for the rest of this year. Watch this.
Your mind and spirit get into sync. They work together to formulate your future. Your spirit and mind must get into sync, and it's done by faith. To do what? To formulate your future. Because if you don't know where you're going, you're not going to know when you get there. Dreams have no expiration dates. See, when you have faith, you are creating. Your mind and spirit get into sync. They work together to formulate your future. That's why I say we live by faith and not by sight. When God said, light be, that was faith talking. It formulated my future. And if I go by the theoretical physics, 13.7 billion years ago, I was in the bang. When God said, do you understand what I'm saying? And light came into existence because there was darkness. God didn't say, whoa, it's dark out here. He just changed what he saw. So how big do you want to dream? Well, Brad, you just can't get crazy. Why not? Let me say it again. How big do you want to dream? When you have faith, you are creating. Your mind and spirit get into sync. They work together to formulate your future. Why? Because your future is vitally important to you. Your future has a voice and a new horizon. Write it down. Your future has a voice and a new horizon. It will keep you prepared. Your future keeps you prepared. It keeps you believing instead of believed. Everything God has ever done is creating. Everything. Constantly. Ever increasing. See, it keeps you prepared.
Oh, man.
That was awesome.
Good.
I'm telling you.
It's good.
2020 is going to be a wonderful year. I don't care what the politicians are doing and that this is an election year. Again, it's going to get ugly in that regard. But this is a great year.
That's right.
This is a great year.
He just talked about God talking from your dream. Your dream never stops talking.
No. No, it's always calling.
And your future is always calling. Mm-hmm. God is always creating.
Yes.
So when he speaks to you, when he speaks to us, he's creating in us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Speaking to your spirit and life. Because the seed went in and died, and now he's speaking life to what's going to come out.
Right.
My God.
He's always been speaking to create. That's why words are so powerful.
And that's why we got to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Say the right things. Yeah. Listen, make this your goal to start saying the right. If you can't say the right thing, then shut up.
Yes. Well, then go to the Lord and ask him. Yeah. Ask him what to say.
Yeah.
The Lord will, if you want to talk
about
it.
Give me an example of that. Yeah. You got an example?
Yeah, here's an example for me, what the Lord said to me a couple years ago. And he said at the beginning of the year to me, you know, so everybody has beginning.
Sure.
So he said, Dale, this will be the greatest year yet. And I said, Lord, this will be the greatest year yet? He said, this will be the greatest year yet. And that year, when he speaks, what happens? Faith comes.
It right? happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm like, Father, I believe this. I heard your voice.
Yes.
And from that point, it started to explode. And when it would start to slow down.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
Yeah.
And I said, Lord, what's going on? He said, what did I tell you to say? What did I tell you to believe? And so, man, I got right back on. I said, Father, this is the greatest year yet. Because he said that to me.
Yes.
And things started ramping. They would ramp right back up. So see, that's a word sown in my heart that he said to me. Mm-hmm. So that's a benefit of having a personal relationship with the Lord, right?
You speaking it is reinforcing what he's already said.
No, you're agreeing.
You're
going into agreement with God instead of something else.
I like real. I like seeing it this way. I'm moving parallel
with
him. Instead of moving against the current, I'm moving with the current.
This is the thing about a relationship with Jesus. It is exciting. It is fun. It's a journey. It's going from glory to glory. We sometimes focus on the negative too much. We focus on what isn't instead of what is.
Right.
It is time to enjoy the journey.
Right. Yes.
Yes.
Enjoy the journey. I like that.
Pick the low-hanging fruit.
I got
fruit.
A new book I'm putting out, y'all, called Enjoy the Journey.
It's about a woodpecker.
It.
It's about a woodpecker and a grizzly bear.
I'm back here writing.
It's a great children's
enjoy
book.
The journey. But there's so much truth in that.
Well, we don't.
Enjoy the journey.
Yeah, you are created for a purpose.
Right.
Know that.
So live on purpose.
And start agreeing with God, what he says over you.
Yeah,
he says get busy. Get your hand to something.
And if you don't have a word, what do? You just go to the Lord and you say, Father, I need a word for this situation. When we were selling a house one time, right? So here's a word for you. We were selling a house one time, and I said, Lord, I learned early on with Brother Copeland. He said, you can't have faith without a word.
Hmm.
So the Lord told us to sell the house. And I said, sell the house? He said, sell the house. I said, what's my word? He said, I will bless you 100-fold in this life. If you leave house, home, mother, father, for my sake, I'll bless you 100-fold. I said, that's my word? He said, that's money in the bank. So I sold the house. We moved to Texas. We bought a house. It's a short story. I hated it. I hated the house. The house we bought,
sure.
I hated it. We're coming home one night at midnight. I said, God, I hate this house.
I know what neighborhood you're in.
I hate this house.
I'm just joking.
I said, you promised me. So I took his word back to him.
Yes.
I said, you promised me you'd bless me 100-fold in this life. I said, what's the problem? It was so simple. He said, you never told me what you wanted.
Oh. Mm.
So when he gives you a word, It's called a conversation after that. Mm-hmm. How do you want to work this out? Mm-hmm. How, when, what? So I said, I know exactly what I want. I want 5 acres, a pond, a creek, a barn, 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, stone or masonry. Don't want to paint, cheap taxes. And I want it for this price because this is the money I got in the bank. That said that at midnight, 8 o'clock in the morning, the next morning, guy standing at in TV department telling the secretary. He said, you should have seen this house I saw last night. It's 5 acres. It's got a pond, a creek. It's all wood. It's got a barn. He named everything word for word. I said, what's the price for that house? He said, the guy wants this much. I said, if he takes this much, that's my house. I bought that house at 5 o'clock. So within 24 hours, get a word from the Lord.
There you go.
He can do a quick
get a word from the Lord. Get a word from the Lord. Get a word from the Lord.
But what if he wouldn't have done the process of saying what you wanted to say?
Huh?
What if you wouldn't have done the process of...
You would have ended up in another
still,
house you hated.
I would still be in that house I hated. I would still be there. But I'm like, Lord, you promised this to me. How do you want to do it? Just like Abraham had a word from the Lord. And he said, how can I be sure that you will do it?
Really and truly, what he did is he hooked his mouth up with what God said.
Yes, he did.
You said something a second ago about Jesus. What did he always say about the words he was saying?
I only say what I hear my father say. I only say what the father says.
Because whatever the father says happens.
Yeah.
Yes,
the father spoke everything into existence.
Yeah. And why does it happen?
And was specific.
Yeah.
Too. So you should be specific in what you want and where your faith is.
And we forget how much power we have.
Yeah. And saying it.
In the scenario here.
What's that now?
We forget how much authority and power we have in this life, really.
We're the connection of God in this planet.
Yeah.
If it's going to happen, we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Jesus said, only thing that's getting done here is because I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
But I'm only doing what the Father told me to do.
Right.
So it's happening because I'm doing it.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's only happening because I hear from the Lord.
Yeah. 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 I think so many times
you're snared by the words of your mouth. Everything is tied to what we're saying in agreement with that destined place.
Yeah.
And whatever's in your mouth is what's in your heart.
And we settle. But,
so you better get something different
in your
heart.
I've tried to lose weight year after year after year, and I never do lose weight.
Thank God I'm so skinny.
Amen.
That's faith talking.
Hallelujah.
You know, you're you're never going to lose weight
what
if
we
you keep
do?
Talking about heavy.
We want to go to the miracle healing line and have the minister say, grab your pants, because you're about to drop 30 pounds, you know.
But I can't go home and eat 3 string cheeses and 5 packs of crackers. I've got to commit to a process.
That's like the,
you know what I mean? You do.
But he'll lead you in what to eat. He'll lead you in what to, everything that you need to accomplish that, he will lead you in every part of
you
that.
You have to just get in tune with him
do.
In prayer.
The just shall live by faith, not by miracles, is what you were just saying.
Yeah.
We always want that instant.
And where does
miracle.
Faith come from? Faith comes from the Word.
Yeah.
And
right?
hearing
the Word and getting it deep in your heart,
water in that seed.
Until it does what? Jesse talked about it earlier. He said, your spirit and your mind have to align. But there's something else that's got to align too.
Okay.
Got to be your spirit, your heart, your mind, your brain, and then your body. In other words, you've got to... Your mouth. You got to work it out.
Yeah.
You know, people say, well, do you ever pray? I say, I pray all the time. You see me picking up this box? You see me doing this? See me doing that?
Yeah.
I'm working out my prayer.
Uh-huh.
I'm working out my desire. It's a full system that's working. It's just not...
Yeah.
It's just not hearing.
When Brother Jesse was talking about dreams a while ago, it went off in me. There are a lot of people that you've got dreams. You've just got dust on them. Mm. You just let those dreams sit on a shelf. I want to challenge you right now at the very start of this year. I mean, we're in the first day of 2020. 2020 vision.
That's
2020.
Right. Yeah.
See this. I want you to see it perfectly. I want you to pick that dream up. I want you to dust it off. Get it shiny again. Look at it.
I just got a word.
Oh, good.
Go.
Hindsight is 2020. So when you look back, you see it for what it is. There are dreams and purposes that God has given you in the past that he's bringing into full vision.
Yes, that's right.
There is full vision. He's going to give you full vision in that dream and that desire. And I believe this is a word right now for those of you that are discouraged or you feel like you just keep trying and you keep just align with it. It's coming into full vision.
Yeah, that's right. Good. There's a reason your windshield's bigger than your rearview mirror. It's more important to look ahead. It is behind. Your destiny is so much more important than your history. Nailed it. I love that. That was so good.
Michelle, this is what the Lord said to me.
So good.
You know, 10 years after I bought that house and he had blessed me 100-fold in it, right? I was sitting in the parking lot outside Pizza Hut. And he said, hey. I said, hey, Lord. He said, I want to remind you something. This is so good. He said, that word I gave you 10 years ago, he says, that's still working today. Don't take your faith off of it. Mm. Right?
So good.
So that dream that he gave you 10 years ago.
That's the dust. Get the dust off of it.
Don't forget. He reminds you that that word is as good today. It's as fresh today.
Yes. It's as powerful today. Yes.
Because all the promises of God are yes and amen.
And amen.
They don't wear out, do they?
No.
That's why we
God
keep
praise
it.
You
keep getting better.
They keep getting better, but that's why we keep it in front of us.
Yes.
Because I can get what I want and miss out on what I could have had.
Yeah.
Because I settled for good, but God had great.
Yes. That's why you got to dream big. Lord, what do you want to do?
Write it down. Put it in front of you. Let the Lord work. Jesus said,
listen, dream bigger than what I've ever done. He said, these works that I've done, greater works you'll do. Can you dream that big day?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, Mark 11:23, what we said a while ago.
Because we often say, if I could only be as good, if I could only be Jesus. Well, Jesus intended for you to go way further than Jesus.
Yeah. I like the way the Mirror translation puts it. I mean, this may rock some people's world, but it said, Jesus didn't come to be an example for you. He said he came to wake you up to who you really are.
Wow. Amen.
Right? I love that verse. I love that.
Mark 11:23 talks about whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, you shall have them. But he talks about saying and saying and saying in there, doesn't he? In that next verse.
Whatsoever you shall say to the mountain, be thou
removed, cast to the sea. Doubt in his heart. Believe that those things that he
shall have whatsoever he saith.
There it is again. So it's a lot about our words and our saying something. Mm-hmm. Us talking. If you want to know what I need to do, you need to talk right.
Yeah.
Really, in line with the covenant. And that goes back to what Brother Jesse said. And really, and I brought this up just a second ago because we just got a few minutes left. In 2020, we had that impeachment thing last year, and now we've got an election season coming up, and the primaries, caucuses are just around the corner. The enemy always tries to get you to shut up, doesn't he?
Boy, he does not talk.
And he doesn't want you to talk. He doesn't want you to speak. Mm-hmm. He tries to get you to be quiet in America.
That's right.
Because you lose your freedoms. I promised you David Barton just a second ago. And clip 6 is what I want to show you right now. A New Year's resolution for you and your family from David, Barton, and Tim. People make a lot of resolutions, some good ideas, being kind, always speaking the truth. But he says this, we're losing our freedoms in America because people are afraid to speak the truth. Every citizen should diligently study and read and know the truth and then speak the truth because your faith, what we say, does matter. Watch this from David Barton. We'll come wrap the program up right after this.
People make lots of resolutions. It seems like every year we're going to make a new resolution, and some people are better at fulfilling and keeping those than others.
Well, yes, I have the solution, actually, because people always fail that resolution. So every year I make a New Year's resolution not to make a New Year's resolution. That way, if I fail at it, I actually succeed.
That's pretty good thinking. Well,
I'm a genius.
I know for myself, 1 year I said I want to make sure I read the Bible cover to cover this year.
That's a good one.
That's a pretty good resolution. What would be other good resolutions?
I think being kind to people and always, always, always speaking truth at all times, because we're losing freedom and liberties in America, mainly because people are too afraid to speak truth and actually censor themselves in the name of sensitivity, and that's a foolish bargain.
One thing I think is really good to do was actually given us by Founding Father John Jay. Mm. He said, every citizen ought diligently to read and study the Constitution of his country and teach the rising generation to be free. So, read it, study it, teach the next generation to be free.
That's a great one. Yeah, most next generation has no idea what's in the Constitution, right? We don't know, even with a Bill of Rights or the First Amendment or Second Amendment, we don't know this stuff. So maybe a great resolution for you this year is read, study the Constitution, and help teach the next generation exactly how to be free here in America.
Speak the truth.
What is the truth, Greg?
Well, he is truth. Jesus is truth. John described him. We experience Jesus full of grace and truth. Speak the truth. Speak the truth about the covenant that we have in America with this nation.
Amen.
Speak the truth to your children about, we do it all the time. We don't take it for granted that they're hearing the truth about America, they're hearing the truth about Jesus or anything right. else from their school. We tell them, here's the truth. And, you know, we've got one daughter now, two of them in college, and one that's like, Dad, I'm making up my own mind on this, but I want to know about this. And I'll say, okay, I appreciate you questioning, but let me tell you a little bit of experience, what I know. You see what I mean? We're involved.
And you're speaking.
And we're speaking to them.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Truth. And the Bible is truth.
Yes.
Speak the truth in love. Mm-hmm. Where's that?
So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, this is the New King James. It says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working, keyword is working, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body.
So let's dissect that verse just a second there. You notice he talked about every part, this goes back to what Jesse Duplantis said a while ago, your mind, your spirit,
and your body.
Lining up,
yeah.
Okay, coming into agreement, that covenant coming into agreement, right. that Abraham started talking like God did. It's what you did. And then what? But it's tied to speaking. And mm-hmm. so what are we working? We're working us saying something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so whatever you're deciding you want to change this year, start saying it now. Start speaking that now. Even on a day you don't get up and go run or whatever it is, speak.
Yeah.
Say something.
And you could see it this way, Greg, instead of looking at it from this is what I want to right. change, you could say this is what has changed. Mm-hmm. In other words, saying I think I'll make $1 million this year.
Yeah.
Why don't you start saying, I'm being over the top, but I got $1 million.
Yeah. Yeah.
A farmer has to leave that seed in the ground.
Yeah.
Even when he can't see it and know that something's happening. Likewise, you have to use your faith and that seed of God's word. And listen, this is how you can undergo effortless change.
Yeah.
I can sleep at night because I know that the word is at work.
Yep, it's good.
Yeah.
Like the farmer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't see, have you ever seen an apple tree grow and make apples? It doesn't stress. I don't see apple trees going, come on, get over here, apples, good apples, right?
He knows he's going to have a harvest.
It's in process.
It's in process.
Works right. every time.
And he just does what he right. does.
And the farmer relaxes.
And he does what he does. He knows I've got a harvest coming.
It's going to be harvested.
And so listen, get the stress out of you right now oh, I've got to make this happen. No, just relax like a farmer does. The seed is at work in you.
Yeah.
And it's going to produce this year.
Yeah.
Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. You agree, guys?
It's producing.
Yes.
Guys, listen, our time's up. Isn't that something?
Wow.
I want to thank you so much for being part of this. And we'll be back again next week on Wednesday night. Tell somebody about Home Group, would you please? Here's a goal for you. Get a little group of friends together and join us.
Yes.
Let me know where you're watching from and that, hey, I got a group of ladies, I got a group of friends that we get together, we discuss the word with us. That would be great.
Yes.
Because you'll all grow. We're all growing together this year. This is going to be a wonderful 2020.
Yes, the best year.
Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, know this. God loves you.
Yes.
We love you.
And Jesus is Lord. We'll see you next Wednesday.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.